It is good to know that we are lifted up on eagle's wings. That's a great song, by the way. It's a beautiful song. On eagle's wings, we soar. And with the Lord Jesus Christ, our spirits soar. And we are not limited just to the mundane, everyday life. One of the things they always say at Central about eagles, that James E. Shepherd used to say, that an eagle is not your ordinary common barnyard fowl. They soar. And the psalmist tells us that the Lord soars, and we soar on eagle's wings. It's good to be here this morning. It's very good to be here this morning. I didn't think I was going to make it this morning, and so I'm glad to be here this morning. It's a beautiful day, beautiful sunshiny day. We got children in the house. We got adults in the house, and we're going to worship the Lord today, and so it's a good day. Today we will pick up and do our last of the seven churches, the church at Laodicea. This is an interesting church. Jesus really had nothing strongly positive to say about this church. It was a very strong assessment, and it's one that's very eye-opening, and it causes us today in the contemporary church to take a good hard look at what that message to Laodicea was and how it applies to us today. So we look forward to delving into the passage and looking at what Jesus had to say there. Also want to remind you that next week will be our Thanksgiving service. We'll also have the ingathering of the shoe boxes, and as you see, they have grown quite a bit over time, and so it's good to see all of them here. So we're glad, and we know that there are more coming. Also know that our Advent season will begin on the 28th of November. So the 28th of November through December 4th, we'll be celebrating Advent. We're going to do something a little different this year with respect to the message series. We're going to look at some very familiar Christmas carols that we have and look at the scriptural foundation behind, the biblical foundation behind some of these beloved carols that we sing. And so that maybe we can have an even a richer experience when we think about them. Also, following Christmas, we'll do a two-part mini-series on the second coming of Jesus. It's kind of a preliminary series to prepare us for next year. And so we will do that on the 26th and then also on the 2nd as a way of preparing for next year. Well, I got some children and I see that they're roaring at the bits to get moving. So y'all come on down over here, and we got my big bag today. Got my big bag. Yeah, let me get my, I know you know what's in there. You helped me. Yeah. All right, here we go. Okay, guys. Now I want to start by asking you something. How many of you... Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that, Grace. Thank you very much. I'm going to put it right here. Oh, he's got it on both sides. Thank you very, very much. Now, I want to talk to you about something. Sometimes you hear a knock on the door. What does that mean? Somebody might be there. And they might not just knock. They might also do what? Ring the bell. Have y'all ever rung the doorbell? Oh, yeah, a lot of times. Oh, nobody rings it. Do they knock on the door?
No.
They don't. They just come on. Oh, well, that's what I was just getting ready to say, because you know what? Our dogs do the same thing. When that doorbell rings, they just start barking and barking and barking because they need to let us know that there's somebody there, right? Yeah, so they're good about that. Yeah, but you're right. I have dogs that do the same thing. I sure do. Well, let me tell you something. I want us to look at something about those doors. You know, now when you remember when somebody's knocking at the door, or make sure you know who it is, right? Uh-huh. You want to make sure you know who it is before you open it. And that's going to be important, because I want to tell you about something just a minute. Now, I got something here, and Mr. Jesse helped me with this. Ooh, look a here. Look a here what we got here. Yeah, now, hold on 1 second, Jay. I'm going to get you to help me, bud. Alan, see if you can open that.
It's got a keyhole.
Yeah, it's got a keyhole. See if you can open it. It won't work. Michael, it won't work, will it? Can anybody open it?
I think I can. Let me open it.
Uh-oh. Oh, it needs a... Jesse, we need something, don't we? Can you help me out here? You got to have a key. Here you go. Wait, guys. Hold it. Here, he's going to stick it in there. This is called cooperation. Oh, look at there.
Can I open it now?
Now, wait a minute. Whoa, what is in there? Oh, all kinds of things. Yeah, look at there. All kinds of watches, glasses, special pens where you can magic read stuff. All kinds of things. Oh, that's good. All right, now help me out here. Can we put it all back in there? Oh, yeah, that's part of a Lego, isn't it? And a sword. Oh, that's a magic pen. Yeah. So let's set it back here. And then here we're going to. Yeah. Now we're going to try something. Now, you want to lock it back up?
No.
You want to lock it back? Oh, yes. Put that in there. Yeah, you can try. Hold on, bud. Let's see if you can lock it. See if you can lock it. Okay, all right. All right, now we got it. There we go. Is that got it? There we go. Now we got it. Now it's locked. So let me set this right here. Now I got something here for you. I want you to remember something. Now remember, this was locked, and you had to have a key to get it open, right? Yeah, hold on. Let's hold on for that. You had to have a key to get it open. And if a door is locked, you got to open it. Now, I want you, everybody, have everybody's attention real quick. I need your attention for about 1 second. Now, I want you to listen to this verse of Scripture. Yeah, I know. All right, listen to this right here. I got to turn the page. All right. Now, listen to this. This is Jesus talking. It says, "See, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." Now, what is that saying? If we open the door to our heart, what will Jesus do? He will come in. He will come in. Oh, he'll help us cook. He'll help us live our life the way we need to. And some of us might need some help cooking, so we might really need it. And so I'm going to look at everybody. I'm not going to just point in one direction. But we might need some help. But you're right. He can help us cook. He can help us make good decisions and all of that. And so here's what I want you to do today. I'm going to give you something. You see that key and you see that heart? Everybody has a key and a heart picture. Okay, yeah, give one to Nora too. Yeah. Here we go. And the idea is open your heart to Christ. So we want to always open our heart to Jesus. And you know what? That's just not for you guys. That's for all of us. We all want to open our heart for Jesus. You need some more? All right. Well, here you go. Now, Miss Grace, if you'll come here, we got some stickers, and she's going to give them to you when we get over to the other side. So what we're going to do is we're going to line up, and y'all follow Miss Grace. Take your picture. You can color them, and let's remember to always let Jesus into our heart. Okay, guys? See y'all next week. All right. Here we go. You got all your stuff there, Michael? All right, here we go, bud. You got him? All right. I believe we had a high level of engagement this morning. That was nice. That's good. That's good. Hey, that's good. Now I got myself. Now we got it. All right. This morning, we have a congregational hymn. I keep wanting to forget that thing. We have several birthdays we want to remember this week. On Tuesday, Robbie Oakley will be celebrating a birthday. On Wednesday, Tyler Adams will be celebrating a birthday. And then on Thursday, our pianist for many, many years, Joyce Ellis, will be celebrating a birthday. And we wish them all a happy birthday. This week, we also want to remember a couple of things. This past, yesterday, Mary Helen Mitchell, she died a year ago yesterday, and so continue to remember Ronnie and Carol and all of the family. It's been a long year, and so we keep them in our prayers. Also, remember Vince Farrell as well. It's been a year since Jennifer Farrell died. So please keep them in your prayers. It's been, I know, an adjustment for all of them. Aubrey Vickers is at Duke Hospital. He had a real touch-and-go situation a little bit earlier in the week with his blood pressure, still dealing with some inflammation and infection in his leg. But he is stabilizing a little bit, so continue to remember him. Linda Register, we're glad that she's had the surgery. It was quite extensive. I understand, is she continuing to do? Well, we are going to continue to pray for her and for the whole family and for strength there. Excuse me. I want to continue to remember J.B. Lanier. Any update on Abigail? Did they ever?
She's doing really well. She has syndrome,
oh, okay.
Something like that. It's a pediatric version, and so they're saying it's pretty intensive treatment for about 6 months, but after that they do think she'll be fully fine with no lingering effects. So they're very pleased with
it. Okay, well, I'm glad that's an encouraging. Sorry she's having to deal with that, but it's at least to know what you're dealing with. Yep. Continue to remember Ann Williams as she copes with the pain and as she looks at issues with her knee. Ray Insko and also Peggy Barringer, keep them in your prayers as we mentioned everyone this morning. May we go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this time that we have this morning, that we can come and be in your house, and that we can come before your throne of grace. Be with us this morning. Be with us as a church and as a congregation. We celebrated Veterans Day this past week, and we want to remember and continue to remember all that our veterans have done and all those who are in service do for us throughout the world. Dear Lord, we pray that you keep everyone safe, and we thank you for the service that has been done. We also want to remember that, particularly as we go into this Thanksgiving and Christmas season, may we be mindful of persons' needs. Persons in our own families, in our own households, in our neighborhoods, in our church, in our community. Persons that cross our paths. May we be especially mindful as we enter this holiday season of the needs that persons may have. And may you speak to us in ways that we can be helpful. We also know that this holiday season, as we begin it, is a good time of joy and family and time together, and we rejoice. But for some, the holidays can be very, very difficult. And at different seasons and in different periods in our own lives, we know this to be true. And so, dear Lord, we also pray that while we enter these seasons of celebration, that your comfort and that the Holy Spirit will be present to help persons navigate the holidays, because sometimes they can indeed be challenging. Dear Lord, we ask that you strengthen Berea Baptist Church. Help us to be the church that you would have us to be. Strengthen us. Help us to be strong. Help us to be generous with our resources, with our talents, and with our ministries. Help us to share the good news. It's so important that we stay the course and that we present the gospel, and not just part of it, but all of it in its entirety, the whole package, because we are living in times where persons need to know the light that you provide and the life that you provide and the way that you provide. So, dear Lord, be with us and help us to be that church that we need to be. And, dear Lord, for each person that has been mentioned today, we lift them up to you. We place them on your throne because we know you are the great physician. You are the great caregiver. Dear Lord, touch each person's life personally that has been mentioned this morning. Let them know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are there and that you have them in your arms and that you will not forsake them. You will not leave them. But you will go through with them whatever they must go through. Dear Lord, we know that you are merciful. We know that you are gracious. And we know that your love endures forever. We pray that your presence may be felt. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord is always on time. The Lord's timing is perfect. I'll give you an example. Traveling to church this morning. Carol was in the car behind me. Children needed to go in one direction. We needed to go in another. So we pulled off the road, changed cars, and here we are. The Lord's timing is always just on time. And nobody got killed in the process. So it was good. Today's sermon is one that, a message, is one that really speaks to us. It speaks to us as churches. And in the world in which we live, we have a mission. We've had a mission for the last 2,000 years. But we have a very, very important mission. And it's important that we step up and that we do what the Lord asked us to do in terms of our faithfulness. And so the title of the message is Laodicea. Being lukewarm is unacceptable to Christ. You know, there's an expression we'll say sometimes, and somebody says something, you say, well, that just won't do. Well, that's what Jesus is saying to Laodicea. What you're doing just won't do. It's unacceptable. And you know, we have a hard time with that sometimes because, to be honest, we're often misled by a false sense of security. And that security is grounded in our pride and in our own self-confidence and our commitment to the God of self. Now, he said, well, I don't commit to that. Look, we all have a selfish streak. Think about it. It's also called self-preservation, isn't it? But we have a selfish streak. And a lot of times, we subscribe to the DIY, do-it-yourself. We're a do-it-yourself group and a do-it-yourself people. And there's some things you can do yourself, like install cameras and things like that. You can do that. Or an alarm system or something like that. But then there are a lot of things that we do that we find out in a hurry we can't do it ourselves. Nor do we want to do it ourselves. Do we leave room for God to be first in our life? I didn't say leave room for God in our life. Leave room for God to be first in our life. And that's something each one of us has to answer as an individual and as a congregation. Are we leaving room for God to be first in our life? How many times have we heard this? Look out for number one. We may have even said it. But what are we really saying? Look out for number one. Who is number one? That's the question. Who is number one? If it's not God, then we're being led by something or someone else. There's a popular expression, God helps those who, what? Help themselves. Didn't even have to finish it. You know it. We know it. Really? Is that the way God works? Is that what the scriptures tell us? If you want something done right, do it yourself. We're back to that DIY thing. Do it yourself. It's also called patience and impatience, isn't it? Yeah. now we're getting to the nitty-gritty. And so the question is, are we sometimes mediocre Christians? And that's what we see when we get to Laodicea. None of us like things that are done halfway. Or none of us like things that are so standardized that it doesn't address the personal need. Now think about it. Prayer is a wonderful thing. We can talk to God when? Anytime. You can answer anytime, 24/7. And God will answer. I got to vent a little bit. I was on a loop. I won't name the company. But I was on a loop this morning, and I must have been around that loop 5 times. Finally got to a person, and the instructions they gave me, you couldn't even find it on the website. I said, well, I don't see it. It's not here. Another loop. Finally found a number. That's Sunday morning. You're not going to what? Find anybody. Called on the Lord to keep me calm before I dug a deeper hole. No, but seriously, prayer. God doesn't put us on a hole. God doesn't put us on a loop. And those are important lessons to know and to learn. And so as Christians, are we available? Are we there 24/7, or are we kind of off the clock sometimes? So that's one thing. Here's another thing. Instead of doing things our way, how much better would your life be? How much better would my life be if we did it God's way? So I invite you, if you would, to take your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 3, and then we'll skip down to 6 through 8. Isaiah is a great prophetic book. A lot of prophecies about the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah, the second coming of the Messiah, and then just good practical wisdom about our covenantal relationship with God. And this is what we find in Isaiah 55. Now, when you hear this, just the first few words, you'll think back to Jesus. And as Christians, we know that Jesus was the fulfillment of these words. And here they are. Come, everyone who is thirsty. Come to the water. Jesus offered us that what? Living water. Come to everyone who is thirsty. Come to the water. And you without silver, come buy and eat. In other words, your money's no good here. This is God's favor. Why do you spend silver on what is not food, and your wages on what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and you will enjoy the choices of foods. You have, excuse me, you have even, turned too many pages. Listen so that you will live. I will make a permanent covenant with you on the basis of the faithful kindness of David. The Lord doesn't want us to do it ourselves. He wants us to put Him first. Give Him the glory and the honor and allow Him to work through our lives. Then in verse 6, again, think to the Sermon on the Mount. Seek the Lord where He may be found. Call to Him while He is near. Let the wicked one abandon his way and the sinful one his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord so that He may have compassion on him and to our God, for He will freely forgive. God is compassionate and forgiving. He asks us also to be compassionate and forgiving. And then in verse 8, and this is the heart of the matter. This is this thing with the do-it-yourself mentality. the lukewarm mentality and also trying to really allow God to be first. And I really love these words because they speak to the truth of the matter. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. What we want to do is align ourselves to God's thoughts and to God's ways. Not our thoughts and not our ways. So, Jesus gives us that living water. We don't have to be thirsty. Our sins have been forgiven. God provides for our needs. We have more than enough. I wonder sometimes when we look at what we spend things on, what would happen if each one of us would invest more? I'm talking about all of us. If we would invest more in relationships rather than things. The power of relationships. The power of fellowship of believers. The power of being there for each other. Jesus, the Lord, asks us to enter into covenant with Him. May we have the courage to seek God and to call upon Him and to trust in God rather than ourselves or chance. You know, for many of us, it's whatever. Que sera, sera. Whatever. But here's the point. Even in the whatever, there's still what? God. And God's unconditional love, grace, and mercy. It's still there. We sometimes may wander away from God, but God's arms are open and He welcomes us. He meets us with compassion and with forgiveness. But we have to be willing to trust Him and not just ourselves. Maybe that's why we feel so often that we have to do it ourselves. Because we've been hurt so many times when trying to trust someone. Why not trust God who is unfailing? That is the key. And that brings us to Laodicea. As we engage in the world in which we live, and these are some different times. They're trying. Have you noticed that people sometimes are very impatient, quick, and you catch me at the wrong time, and I'll illustrate it for you. I mean, I'll be honest. Life can be kind of rough sometimes. But we live in a world right now where the churches must stand strong and be that beacon of light, that ray of hope, that message of truth that can help us navigate times that can be sometimes unsettling and shifting. Here's one thing we know about today's world. You have to be able to move on a dime, don't you? The landscape is constantly shifting. It's constantly changing. It's as if the world has been built on a foundation of sand and we have forgotten the solid rock, which is Jesus. We're built on a firm foundation. We can share that foundation. So why Laodicea? See, in this chaotic world, we want to be zealous for God. Zealous is not a bad word. Another way of saying being zealous is being on fire, being pumped up. That first love that we, you know, was talked about in the very first church. You've forgotten your first love. really being committed and on fire for God. That zeal, that drive, rather than lukewarm. I hate mediocrity. I hate it. And I don't think a lot of us like it either. If you're going to do something, don't do it halfway. And if a church, we don't want to spread the gospel halfway. We want to tell the whole story. We want to be the people of God. Not lackadaisical. Laodicea was the last city in that seven chain of churches. If you were to look it out as like a mail route or a caravan route, it was the last city on the chain. So it's kind of like a destination point. It's also a city that was elevated a little bit as well. It was at the intersection of two trade routes. And its name meant justice of the people. Justice I don't mind. It's of the people that gives me problems. We want God's justice, not the people's justice. Ultimately, we want God's justice. There's a huge difference. They were known for the production of black wool. They had a strong textile industry in that respect. They were also a strong banking center as well. Strong banking group. The city was destroyed by an earthquake in 60 AD. They rebuilt using their own funds. They were self-sufficient in that respect. They refused the offer of aid from Rome. So they rebuilt themselves. They were self-confident in that respect, financially secure. There was a medical center there that produced were known for an eye salve. Now, researchers have looked at that salve, and it was more like snake oil. It didn't have any curative value to it. But you know, it doesn't have to cure you. You just have to what? Think that it will or believe that it will a lot of times. But it had no medicinal value. But they were known for this eye salve. They had a temple to Zeus, or Jupiter, the Greek and Roman equivalents. And the archaeological site shows that there at one time were three churches there, remnants of three churches that can be found in the ruins. But what Laodicea is best known for, and it's one of the things that has survived even to today. I got a picture of it when I was looking in one of the commentaries. It's this big chunk of stone, and in the center there's a clay pipe where the water was piped in. Just sitting there on the ground. Laodicea was known for its water supply. Now, here's the deal. You had Hierapolis, which was up the road. It was known for its hot springs. You had Colossa down the road, which had some natural cool springs. So you had hot water, you had cool water. Laodicea was kind of elevated, and they didn't have a natural water supply. So they had to pipe it in, and it had to travel several miles. So what do you think happened to the water over time? If it started out hot, by the time it got to Laodicea, what was it going to be? Lukewarm. If it started out cold, by the time it got to Laodicea, what was it going to be? Lukewarm. How many of you first thing in the morning want to drink 8 ounces of lukewarm water? Just doesn't set well, does it? No. So what if you had to deal with that kind of water supply all the time? And that was a challenge for them. And that is something that they did have to deal with. But it's that lukewarmness, excuse me, that Jesus really hammers them on. And it deals with their covenantal relationship with God. And what had happened with their own self-sufficiency. So if you would, turn to Revelation chapter 3, and let's start with verse 14 and go through verse 22. Write to the angel of the church in Laodicea. Thus says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the originator of God's creation. Now those are three designations, three identifying marks of Jesus. This is how Jesus is identifying himself in this letter. The Amen is essentially invoking the truthfulness or the veracity of the statement. When you said Amen, what you really were saying is, this is truthful. You're vouching for the truth of the statement. The faithful and true witness. Jesus is faithful and true. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life in the Gospel of John. And then the originator of God's creation. In other words, in John we also know that the Word became flesh and that the Word was with God from the very beginning. Now that's an important point because some believe that there were Christians at Laodicea that did not completely believe in the divinity of Christ. That was a big debate. If you were to study church history and look at the second and third century in particular, there were groups that fought it out over how is Jesus fully human and fully divine. Some would argue that Jesus was all divine. Others would say he was all human. And there was some back and forth on that. And some think that that may have been what was part of what was going on at Laodicea. But we hear this declaration from Jesus as to who he is in no uncertain terms. And then he says, I know your works. Now, in the other letters at this point, Jesus goes on to say some of the things that they're doing well. None of that's here. This is the only one of the seven letters where Jesus goes straight at it and goes right to what the issue is. And this is what he says. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. In other words, what would be a layperson's translation on that? Sometimes what do we like to do in terms of fences? We like to straddle the fence, don't we? Don't want to have to land on either side. We like to straddle that fence. I wish that you were cold or hot. So, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Pretty strong word, isn't it? But you know what? If you wake up first thing in the morning, you drink 8 ounces of warm water, you might be heading to the bathroom real quick. I mean, it doesn't settle well. For you say I am rich. Remember, there was a banking center there. You say I'm rich. I have become wealthy and need nothing. Now, that also could refer back to the fact, remember, they didn't pay for their reconstruction after the earthquake. They didn't accept Roman aid. They were self-sufficient financially. They paid the cost out of pocket themselves. I have become wealthy and I need nothing. Now, how true is this? When life is good and everything is going your way, we feel like we can do about anything, don't we? And then what happens? We get a wake-up call to how fragile life is. I'm rich. I have become wealthy and I need nothing. And you don't realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Now, when you first hear that statement, the words just kind of roll off your lips, you know? And you don't really think about it. But with each one of these words, Jesus is giving an indictment directly to the Laodiceans. Directly. Each one of these is an indictment. Wretched. You think you're healthy. but you're not. Pitiful. You think you're strong, that you can do it by yourself. Poor. Remember, they're a wealthy community. They've just been reminded of their spiritual poverty. Blind. Remember the reference to the eye salve, which was supposed to help. But you're blind. It does you no good. And then finally, naked. Remember, they were the ones that produced the wool clothing. But Jesus is saying, you're none of this. In other words, Jesus sees through all the trappings and goes straight to the main issue, which is, you're not proclaiming God. You're not putting God first in your life. You're being lackadaisical about what you're doing. I advise you to buy from me gold refined in fire. Again, a dig to them. They were a banking center. They had resources. But he says, you want real gold that's been refined and purified by fire. Now think about this. Doesn't God work with us throughout our lives? And aren't we all people that are refined by fire, the trials and tribulations that we face? Yes, we are. So that you may be rich, white clothes, so that you may be dressed. In other words, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Remember that from one of the earlier letters. And your shameful nakedness will be exposed, and ointment to spread on your eyes so that you may see. I think back to Jesus and the blind person. He gave him sight. He gave him physical sight, but he also gave him sight into his soul as well, into who he is. As many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. So Jesus is saying, I'm not just beating up on you. I'm doing this and I'm pointing this out because I love you. Now let's be honest. What will a true friend tell us? Not what we need, not what we want to hear, but what we need to hear. Now, it is important how you break the news. You know, you got to have some tact. But sometimes it's important. Sometimes we need to hear things. I remember one thesis in particular that I was working on, and one of the other faculty members said, "Wortham, you're the problem." And when he started, pointing it out, I saw it. And so I corrected the situation. But the person had enough gumption to what? Tell me. You're the one that's in the way on this. And the person was right. I was being a stickler on something. But sometimes we need people in our lives that will tell us the truth, whether we want to hear it or not. So after church, please don't everybody come running to me to tell me. One at a time. Line up, please. So be zealous and repent. See, there's that word. Be on fire. Be zealous and repent. Turn your life around. See, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Now, a lot of times, that is an invitation call. Jesus stands at the door of your life. Open the door and allow him to come in. And that's one of the meanings of this verse. But there's another meaning. Think about these two doors over here for a minute. For Berea Baptist Church, has Christ been shut out or has Christ been welcomed in? And I'm very serious right now with the church as a whole. And as we talk about the gospel going forward, there are all types of competing worldviews and ideologies and views many that deny the truthfulness of the Scriptures, many that deny that there is no God, or if there is a God, you can't know God, or that there are multiple ways and multiple paths to salvation. How many churches has Jesus been shut out of? I'm serious. For how many churches is Jesus knocking on the door to be let in? May we always be mindful of that as we commit to the Great Commission to go out and tell about Christ, as we mentor and disciple, as we baptize. Is Christ present among us? That's something we want to be mindful of. We don't want to lock Jesus out of the church. It all comes down to this, doesn't it? And I'm glad this stays here. This is a constant reminder to us of what's important and what's first. Then Jesus says, and here is the good news. To the one who conquers, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. To the one who conquers, to the one who remains steadfast, to the one that does not compromise to the world, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on His throne. Let the one who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, with that being said, I'd like to close with two statements. These were statements that I found, and I'll attribute to J. Vernon McGee. Many of you will remember him. One of these, and both of these talk about the idea of Jesus being shut out of the church. And are we honoring our commitment to be churches of Jesus Christ? I want to read kind of two inscriptions. This first inscription is posted on a cathedral in Germany, in Lübeck, Germany. And it speaks of Jesus in the following way. Here's the inscription. Ye call me master and obey me not. Now, as I read these, let's take these seriously to heart. Ye call me light and see me not. Ye call me way and walk me not. Ye call me life and choose me not. Ye call me wise and follow me not. Ye call me fair and love me not. Ye call me rich and ask me not. Sounds so familiar to Revelation, doesn't it? And so familiar to what we face today. Ye call me eternal and seek me not. Ye call me noble and serve me not. Ye call me gracious and trust me not. Ye call me might and honor me not. Ye call me just and fear me not. If I condemn you, blame me not. If I condemn you, blame me not. That is a contemporary version of Laodicea, isn't it? Same message. And then this is a statement. It's in the form of a letter that is attributed to Stanley High. And it talks about what kind of church are we? And going forward, how will we be perceived by others? And it goes like this. The church has failed to tell me that I am a sinner. A lot of churches don't talk about sin anymore. It's self-help. You can help yourself. No, sin is real. The church has failed to deal with me as a lost individual. Without Christ, we are lost. The church has failed to offer me salvation in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Either we believe it or we don't. The church has failed to tell me of the horrible consequences of sin and the certainty of hell. Sin is real and hell is real. It's not just a three-story universe that we no longer believe in. And the fact that Jesus Christ alone can save. We need more of the last judgment and less of the golden rule. Now, don't get me wrong. The golden rule is important. But that's also, we need to know that Jesus is coming again. And are we preparing the world for that? We are asked to proclaim until he comes. That was the whole purpose of communion last week. More of the living God and the living devil as well. Evil is real, my friends. It's not a made-up concept. It's not just bad thinking. Evil is real. More of a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. The church must bring me not a message of cultivation, but rebirth. I might fail that kind of church, but please hear this. That kind of church will not fail me. Are we failing persons by not sharing the whole truth and all of the truth about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? Amen. Now on that note, we're glad that persons are here in person and joining us also live stream and also will be listening later on. If you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please accept him. He's waiting there for you. His arms are open and he's knocking on the door of your life. Allow him into your home, into your life. We allow him also into this church as well. Do that today. If you want to rededicate your life, do that today, here or right where you are. We ask this. Jesus is calling. May we hear his call.
Closing hymn this morning will be hymn 511, The Solid Rock. We'll sing the first verse of 511 together. Let us stand and sing.
May we realize that as we go out into the world, as we leave here this morning and we enter into the rest of our daily living, that oftentimes the ground is sinking and shifting. But Jesus Christ is the solid rock, and that we have the opportunity to share that firm foundation with all who come our way. May the Lord bless us and keep us. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.